When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susi.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the most haunted city on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susi.
And we are in the body shoot.
Body shoot. We are under Waverly Hills Sanatorium. We are in one of the most notorious locations in the country. We are in the body shoot where they would take bodies from the tuberculosis ward when they had died in such great numbers that they didn't want to alarm anyone. They would actually transport them through this tunnel that was originally used to bring provisions into the hospital. So yeah, we are wrapping up an overnight investigation of Waverly Hills. And I think first off, we need to just give a big old shout out to the Waverly Hills team. They were more than gracious, wonderful hosts. And we're very, very pleased that we got this opportunity to investigate this location.
Yeah, they've been absolutely amazing, very communicative and hospitable to us. We had a great time with the Ghost Brothers here in Waverly Hills. Yeah, it's it lives up to the hype, y'all. We'll start out that we're basically doing a podcast in the haunted location, just like we did at the Conjuring House, where we're all kind of a little bit sleepy doing this, so that our experiences are fresh.
We have been running around five stories of just mayhem, paranormal mayhem.
It's wild in here, which we expected.
Right.
You know, from doing our deep dive and talking to Tina before this, we knew it was going to be crazy.
Although, surprisingly, we were pestered by a ghost that we were not overly familiar with before arriving on site. The ghost that we almost consistently had to deal with was this misogynistic SOB. I mean, he was just mean-spirited. He talked smack about everybody. Women. He only talks back about women, which was interesting because even when we challenged him, when the men folk challenged him, he never addressed us. Mm-hmm. He never turned to us and was like, "Shut up, man." He just laid into the ladies
the whole time. So, I guess we should start out with the first floor. So the first
which
floor,
is where we met our gentleman caller.
Where we met Tim.
And we're calling him Tim. We don't actually know necessarily. I mean, we did seem to get verification at the very end of the night that he was Tim.
Yes.
Not Timmy, not the boy ghost that everybody seems to be believing haunts this establishment. No, Tim, we were basically told that he doesn't like women.
Yes.
And that he's very aggressive towards women. So we initiated an Estes method in which the women of our group were in charge.
We like to call it estrogen Estes.
Yes, the estrogen Estes. So the men folk just stayed quiet while the women had all the say. And he was almost instantly on it.
Mm-hmm.
He did not like it, and he was using language that the FCC would not allow on the radio. So it was very interesting to hear it coming out of a spirit box.
Well, what was even more interesting is I was getting antagonized by him from the jump in the morgue.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It all started in the morgue where I think early on in that experience, we were dealing with a little child, a girl, it seemed, or a child, but it was quickly somebody saying, you don't belong here. What are you doing here? Go down the hall, which is incidentally where he was. He was actually down the hall,
right,
was his domain. Although we found that he could go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, what was weird, so I was in the body slabs in the morgue.
Right, the drawers that they put the bodies in, we had put her in for an Estes method inside one of those, which was daring and, you know, ridiculous.
Ridiculous. But, yeah, so there was one point where, what did he threatened me in some capacity.
Yes.
He's threatened me multiple times.
There's a lot of threats, dragging you around. I think he even said kill you at one point in the evening, that he was going to kill her. So it was fascinating because he was getting more and more aggressive as the night went on. And what he wanted was a subservient woman. I mean, there was a point at which he was like, women belong in the kitchen, make me a sandwich, things like that.
He wasn't very creative.
He was not creative. He was dull.
Yeah. He came after me, Debria, and Megan in various capacities via me, which is hilarious. But yeah, he made us kind of startled at first because he made a threat while I was in the body slab.
Right.
And he touched the cat ball, like, and immediately set the cat ball off as well. And so everybody was like, pull her out, you know, before she gets.
Right. It was like a threat. The cat ball moved and it was like, oh, something's happening.
Right.
Something is physically moving towards or away from her. So we were like, get her out.
Yeah. So we went down the hall after that and we had some more discourse with this man. And he literally followed us throughout the whole entire building. So we were kind of sick of him at that point, and we were like, well, let's move to the second floor.
Right.
And so we go up to the second floor, and we do a couple more Estes methods. We also decide to do a bone throwing session, which was quite compelling as well. The second floor was not as active as we anticipated.
No, we had been given some indication that the second floor was a very active place, but I would say it was very calm.
At least tonight.
And it was a respite, really, mm-hmm. because it was almost, I would say, first, third, fifth floor, with a strange sort of side haunt on the fourth floor. Our side haunt on the fourth floor dealt with some equipment that we were using that we were not used to. Mm-hmm. But on the second floor, we actually rolled the bones.
Yes.
And we had a very calm and peaceful sort of communing with the spirits. And it was actually kind of rejuvenating.
Right.
To like sit and not have to like be hypervigilant. Because that's another thing about this place. It makes you really hypervigilant. You hear every sound around you. You see, because, you know, shadows, when you're walking by the doors, you're always seeing what looked like somebody just like stepping back into the room.
Yes.
Like they were just peeking out and stepping back in the room. And I'm like, I'm willing to give some of that to the way our flashlights were moving, the way we were moving, you know, the dark. But it was happening so much. And Sushi, my kid, was here, saw a full face pulling back into the room. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay. So these sensations that we were having, they were really like becoming more and more solid as the night went on. Because early in the night, you can kind of chalk it up to, well, we're in this environment, and this environment is, you know, creepy, and it is a creepy place, and so your imagination is running wild. But as the night went on, you began to feel a pattern that, like, if the room were more than four doors away from you, that's the room you want to look at. You don't want to look at the one right here. You don't want to look at the one, like, two or three down. Four and on, it seems like that's where you would see these shadows, and so we got kind of accustomed to looking just a little further down the hall to see this movement. And again, early on and as the night progressed, those are things that you can easily say, I think that was my imagination. Mm-hmm. But we started catching things on film, we started catching things in the camera, and that makes it, it makes us go, oh, you know, I think there was something going on. I think there are things to really take into consideration. All in all, I was amazed that the second floor was as peaceful as it was.
It really was, and yeah, the shadow figures though around here are bizarre. There's so many of them. And even when we were being given the tour, before the sun even set, we were seeing things. And we were like, this is weird. This is really strange. But, you know, overall, the second floor was definitely a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and every time we went back to the second floor, because that's where we set up our base camp, every time we went back to the second floor, it was like, whew, all right.
Okay, because we made it.
Everything else was like the gym.
Yes.
Like everywhere else we were in the building, we were like, you know, abs tight and running around and feeling all this tension. And we get down to our little, you know, cubby where we have cookies. And we're like, oh,
it's
we're
true.
At peace.
Yeah, we, did we run into Tim on the second floor too?
Because we were trying to figure out who he was, because he started kind of bullying his way in during the
yes.
bones. So we were trying to figure out, did he work here?
Was yes.
he, you know, so we yes. were going through all the possibles, and he was so cagey about it that we never figured it out. The only thing that we were able to kind of pin was that he was a veteran, mm-hmm. that he worked here, but we don't know what he did here because we went through almost every job we could think of.
Right.
We didn't know, you know, what capacity was or whether he died on property. We don't know. But
also not convinced that, because he said he was forced here. And so we're not unconvinced that he wasn't a part of the period of time when
it was a retirement home.
Yes.
And so he was forced here. But there's also the idea that he may have been injured or something and forced out of work, put here against his will. Or even a job, given a job as a kind of a demotion. So like he had a job somewhere else and they demoted him to work at Waverly Hills.
Yes.
So there's no telling. He was very cagey about personal.
He just didn't want to give us any information about himself.
He just wanted to abuse women.
Yes.
He was an abusive, abusive man.
Yeah, he was just very aggressive. Some of the things that he was saying were, he's like, stupid bitch, stupid bitch, stupid bitch. Like, just like, literally, repeatedly, over and over and over and over again. You know, he was saying things, you know, that were very vulgar towards women.
Vulgar towards women, threatening, physical violence. Mm-hmm. And he would not address any man. So if JT or I would step in to be like, hey, don't talk that way, he didn't even acknowledge us.
Right.
He just went right back to attacking the woman. So it was an interesting thing because that was not the spirit we thought we were going to be dealing with. And we moved up to the third floor where we brought a Boo Bear. And for those of you who don't know what a Boo Bear is basically a ghost hunting piece of equipment that is inside of a teddy bear. So there are sensors, pressure sensors, temperature sensors, electromagnetic sensors inside this teddy bear. And when things fluctuate around the teddy bear or when the teddy bear is touched, it speaks. It's creepy. It's interesting. But it is a teddy bear. So it's designed for children. It's designed to draw children. Since we believe that there are children ghosts on the third floor, we took the Boo Bear up there, and instantly that bear was going off, and the when we did an Estes method, the conversation was predominantly about how much this child likes the bear and how much the child wants the bear. Can the bear stay? The bear is my friend. And we were feeling bad because it's like, I would leave this bear if I could, but I can't. It's not ours. We borrowed it. It was heartwarming and sad to think that there's a child here. In any capacity, if there is a child here, it just seems sad. But how attached that spirit seemed to be to that Boo Bear. And called it Boo Bear.
Yes.
Called it Boo Bear.
I think that's because I was calling it Boo Bear.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Understood that its name was Boo Bear. So I found that to be a really good Estes method. Mm-hmm. When we did the Estes method on the third floor, it was very responsive. It was very direct. We got a lot of the cat ball response. And these floors are concrete. So there's no jumping up and down or stepping or making them go off. So it was interesting to watch the cat ball go off, to hear the Boo Bear go off, and then in the Estes method to hear a spirit saying how much they like the bear.
Yeah, it was kind of just sad, you know, because, it was interesting first off, I should say, because we put a variety of different toys out for that children would enjoy. We put out marbles, we put out a tennis ball, we put out Boo Bear, we also put out the cat ball, mm-hmm. All of which are pretty solid choices to bring to an investigation if you're attempting to contact children.
Children ghosts, yeah, absolutely.
But it was like, and also, the child was on command responding through Boo Bear.
Yes.
You know, I would ask, you know, like, if you if you like this bear, touch Boo Bear,
right.
You know, or.
And then it would go off, touch the hand.
Yeah.
I like it when you hold my hand.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We ended up doing one point where we were asking how many children were in the room with us. And we were like, if there's five or more kids in the room, touch Boo Bear. Immediately, Boo Bear goes off. We're like, okay, well, if there's 10 or more in the room, touch Boo Bear. Nothing. And then we ended up going through the numbers, you know, and seeing if they could give us an accurate number, and we got 6. So,
which is a number that we have heard before, mm-hmm. when people are talking about how many children ghosts they believe are in this building. And we were kind of given the heads up to be wary of utilizing the name Timmy, because regardless if there is a child ghost named Timmy, it was isolating to the other ghosts. Like the other children feel like you don't want to talk to them. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting, mm-hmm. you know, idea is, yeah, don't alienate the other children by only trying to talk to this one ghost. Which was very interesting and very intriguing. And I dare say that after the third floor, we kind of felt like we had washed our hands
right.
of Tim. Mm-hmm. Because we had a really solid Estes method, really great communication through the Boo Bear with a spirit. And it seemed to be this child spirit. And we were having this kind of very... And I'd say the third floor was... very active, but not scary at all. Mm-hmm. Like there was nothing oppressive about it. There weren't those sensations that you get because there are places in this building where you suddenly feel, you know, all your hackles go up, mm-hmm. and you're like, I don't want to, you know, deal with whatever is going on. So we then went up to the fourth floor to the OR room. Now this is where they did some really bloody surgeries, and a lot of these surgeries resulted in people's deaths because they were experimental and they were crazy.
Yeah, to say the least.
They were like, we're going to give your lungs a rest by A, deflating them, or B, removing your ribs. And this was at a time when, you know, recovery from surgery was not, you know, the highest percentage rate. So a lot of people died under the knife, and we went into the OR and had a roll of bones session and an Estes session. And we had with us a surgical kit from the early 1900s. So we were kind of trying to use that trigger object of the surgical tools. And that was, I wouldn't say it was a roaring success, but it felt like we had good, solid communication.
Right.
And it seemed like we were definitely talking to a nurse, and a nurse who suggested that there are many nurses still in this building. They gave of their life in this building, and now in their afterlife, they still tend to the building, and still they're still here. But they also gave us this kind of eerie suggestion that one of the doctors was an abuser and that he had abused several of the nurses. And so there was this kind of weird subplot going on, and this plays very much into the fifth floor ghost. And so we were listening to, you know, this Estes method, and then we attempted an Estes method in the chapel, which didn't really turn up anything. And as we were leaving the fourth floor, we thought, we do have a piece of equipment that we've never used in a ghost hunt, and that is the Dysonin goggles. Now, Dysonin is a dye that they use. They press this dye between two pieces of glass, and it is supposed to allow you to see people's aura. But on top of seeing people's aura, it allows people oftentimes to see beyond the veil, to kind of witness the things that are around us that we cannot see because we are filtered. Our vision is filtered through the light spectrum that we can see. So these particular goggles kind of block out a lot of the blinding aspects of our vision. So not really expecting anything because they're very dark, and it was the middle of the night. And we put these on JT and gave him a very powerful flashlight. And basically, most people believe that what you're experiencing is a type of hallucination, that your eyes are adjusting to this weird color. It's removing a lot of the normalcy of your vision, and you start seeing things. But what JT saw really did shock him and really did like give him a jolt of, oh gosh, there's something here. I can see it. I see it. So then we gave it to Sushi, and within seconds, Sushi was able to see the same thing and was actually saying, I think that thing is coming at us. I think it's actually now very close to us, or if not, it's already here. So, you know, pull off the goggles, and I was like, okay, that's weird, but it raised an interesting question. Because it's about perception. It's about a question of perception. Are these goggles changing our perception? And if that is true, what does that mean in a ghost hunting way? So we thought, and I apologize, wouldn't it be a great idea if Maddie sat down with the goggles instead of a blindfold? And we set her to look at an area that we know by history is an incredibly haunted location. On the fifth floor, in the middle of the fifth floor landing, is a spot where a woman hanged herself, a nurse hanged herself. Now, there are a lot of conflicting stories as to why it happened or what was going on, but the general belief is that she had been impregnated by a doctor, she was single, she had tuberculosis, so there was all these factors weighing heavily upon her to the point at which she hanged herself. And some people believe that there was a miscarriage involved, a possible abortion, but definitely the shame of being a single woman pregnant and the father was a married doctor. Yes. So there was this storyline that was going on, and something that we were told earlier in the evening was that when people do the spirit box in that area, they oftentimes hear the word rape. And when they hear this word, they start to wonder if the nurse was not a victim of rape and if it wasn't a doctor who did it. So with all that information, we sit Madison down opposite where the body was hanging, looking into the room 502, notoriously haunted. And we have her wear the Dysonin goggles with a flashlight, listening to the spirit box on noise-canceling headphone. And would you like to express?
Yeah, so this is when our good friend Tim comes back.
Bad jerk.
He immediately shows up and says something along the lines of, glad you looked this way, or something of that nature.
And that was so chilling because you almost immediately saw like a figure.
Yes, I saw a shadowy figure reach its hand like this around the door frame. And I'm like, we are not doing this right now. And I'm assuming you guys asked, who are you? Like in that nature, because immediately then we get, my name is Tim.
Right. Right, and we were all like, oh, come on.
You again, you know? Because our tour guide earlier had mentioned as well that the name she's always gotten from the obnoxious misogynist spirit was Tim or Tom.
Right, Tim or Tom.
And so we're like, okay, we're familiar with your work. and, you know, of course he starts saying his obscenities.
He almost immediately goes into the obscenities, into the threats and woman bashing.
Yes.
But here's the thing. That fifth floor landing is purportedly haunted by a woman who took her life as a victim of a man. And another woman who is believed to have been thrown out a window or jumped out a window to her death. That landing is haunted by powerful women spirits. Forceful and powerful women spirits. And when Tim started talking his trash, it only took like
seconds,
right?
Because immediately the spirit box, I heard a very strong woman's voice saying, escape, you know, escape the rapist or things like that. Or referring to Tim, I'm assuming.
At the very least, they recognized him as an abuser and drove him off.
Yes. And I saw that same spirit that was peeking around the, you know, door frame scurry off into the other room.
Which... Yeah, and you don't know this, but when that happened, because Madison says, oh, he went that way, we hear this kind of calamitous sound because all night there were these... tarps that were making this wind noise. Well, they made the most bizarre noise as if something had punched through them.
Oh.
Right after you said that. So it was like he had run into the other room and then boom!
It was like he literally got, like, imagine, you know, somebody with a broom, like shoo, shoo, shoo. That's what it felt like. Tim, like, tucked his tail. He's not as big and bad as
no.
he likes to
and
think he
it
is.
And it felt like such a triumph from our side.
Yes.
Because we were there and it was just like, yes, you go. Tim messed up. Tim walked into the wrong area and tried to pull his hijinks and no, they would not have it.
Well, and especially because after that, the spirit box went kind of dead, I think.
Right, well, it said, that's enough.
Yeah. That's enough came through.
Yep. That's enough, and then there was nothing after that.
Yep. Yeah, it was almost like they were like, okay, we're done for the evening. Because we had been up on the fifth floor prior to that, you know, because we had, you know, filming schedule and stuff like that. And so we had done FC's methods up there, which were bizarre as well.
Yeah. Highly informative, very talkative. That was one of the most interesting things, because a lot of times when you're dealing with the Estes method, you get one-word answers or tight, you know, word answers. These were full sentences.
Right.
We got many full sentences. And
from multiple people.
We had four different people doing the Estes method, and they were all getting the same level of lengthened response, which was fascinating to me, because like I said, usually it's like a word or like a couple of words, but these were like full sentences. Yeah.
Also, there was at the very beginning of the night when I did that original Estes method on the fifth floor, I had been getting this man chuckling in the spirit box, and it followed all night long. Was that you, Debria?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry, again, we're in the body chute.
We are in the body chute, and we are looking at, like, just the gaping maw of hell in front of us.
Quite literally.
And it's like, oh, great. And it doesn't help that there's just, like, this one little flashlight behind me, mm-hmm. and so it's casting my shadow way down there. And so every time I move my head, I was like, something's coming! No, I'm sorry. There's nothing. No, something's coming! So, there's nothing coming.
That's exactly what it feels like.
But it is what it feels like.
But, yeah, it was this weird chuckle, man's chuckle, that followed me all night throughout the SC's methods, where it was like, it was this man going like, ha, 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 ha. And I think it was Tim.
I don't doubt it. Because we did get, like, a tour of the whole building. And what we didn't know was that Tina had taken JT aside, and this was, Tina is the owner of Waverly Hills, took JT aside and explained the aggressive man in the lobby and actually kind of stirred him up. Mm-hmm. And that was only minutes before we came in on the tour. So there's no doubt that he was raring to go.
Yeah.
And he probably latched onto us when we came through, and then we came through and then
right.
went up to start our evening.
Well, and he specifically, Tim, called out Tina at one point.
He did.
He said, I'm gonna tell Tina to put
stuff
us
it.
To stuff it. Yeah,
yeah, to stuff it. Which was another thing. He used very archaic language that sounded like 30s, 40s. Mm-hmm. Stuff it and what was it? He said something else like throttle you or he was using old timey language.
Yeah. And so I'm going to tell Tina too. I'm going to tell on you, Tim.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Tim.
You know,
you're in for it.
Somebody who's listening to this is going to be named Tim and he's going to be like, oh God, share my name with a horrible, horrible ghost.
Oh, such a terrible ghost.
You know, it was overall though, I would say, besides Tim being obnoxious, I didn't ever feel in danger. His threats felt very empty. And,
yes. Yeah, he was just a blowhard. And all in all, there wasn't a threat. There was an eerie sensation
yes.
to the place. But I didn't catch that, like there was something evil here. I didn't feel any of that. There was something shadowy here. There was something that wasn't fully formed or had lost form. And there was something that...
Murky,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that can come from suffering. You know, suffering definitely breeds a certain type of entity that that doesn't comprehend how to interact. It is seeking to be soothed, and oftentimes it can't be soothed, so it becomes erratic. But I never sensed that danger. Like at the Conjuring House, there was times when it felt like, oh, you know what? Debris is going to die.
And though we joke about Debris,
we would never let Debris go in, get into harm's way. We would always
yes.
throw JT right in front
yeah,
of it.
100%. Sacrifice him.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I think the interesting thing about this place is the sheer number of spirits that are here.
Yes.
Where, you know, places that have your couple resident ghosts, they are way more apt to show you a full form of themselves.
Right.
These spirits.
They're fighting for, yeah.
A glimpse of attention, you know, because there are multiple times this evening where I think all of us, you know, would see something and we're like, I know what I saw.
Right.
But it was only
a flash or
yeah, of a
you know,
woman.
Or I saw something, it was white and mm-hmm. it was kind of shapeless. And when I saw it, the first time I saw it, I was thinking that it was, and it's funny because I thought it was Tina wearing a parka because it had kind of like a conical head. Mm-hmm. And then later I was like, it was like a white Sasquatch. It was a very large white thing in the stairwell. And I saw it because it bobbed its head up once and it like froze me in place because my brain was like, what was it? I don't know. What could it have been? It looked like, well, I'm not sure. And then it happened again. Like it was looking again to say, are you still there? Because whatever it was did not want to be seen. It like popped up, and that's what made me think it was like one of the workers or something.
Right.
But no, the second time I was like, that's not a human being. That's something else. That's just a big mass of something else. And then when I said that, Aaron, who was running our camera, was like, you know, earlier I caught something, some white thing moving past a window, and I think I got it on tape. And you said you saw some static,
yeah.
like a white static.
It looked like a white static kind of floating in one of the rooms, which if y'all listen to Tina's interview is yeah. apparently a thing that happens here.
Oh, right. That's true. The white lightning.
Yeah. But poor Aaron, our camera guy, you know, this is his first paranormal investigation ever. And all night he was hearing footsteps behind him.
Well, because he always was absolutely far behind us, or he had to go forward into the dark and shoot us arriving. So he was oftentimes alone in the dark, you know, looking, and he would hear, footsteps behind him. You know, he said all night his hair was standing on end.
And
we need to, like, have him on the podcast and just do a debrief with him.
Explain your feelings.
How did that go?
Yeah, because...
And Debria's right here, by the way. Debria's right on the other side of the camera. She doesn't have a microphone, but Debria is literally sitting in the dark in the death chute.
Yes.
And any creepy crawly thing could just grab her and snatch her and drag her off into the darkness.
If it hasn't already. And this is really just a...
What's the safe word? No!
We did come up with a safe word
in case somebody got possessed.
You know, because...
And it wasn't potato.
It wasn't. What was it, DeBrie? Incorrect.
Incorrect.
But, yeah, because we heard too many stories of people getting hit with something, you know.
And then losing their senses.
Losing their senses, you know, normal people who come on the tour and stuff and suddenly have black eyes and they're crab crawling or whatever it be.
Right, crab crawling off the back of a stage or something.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah, nobody likes that.
So we had decided that we were going to have the safe word so that...
I think that was actually Sheila, Parajunkie Sheila's suggestion that we get a safe word.
Yes, I think it was, yeah. And... It was, the Parajunkies stayed up with us all night. They got to hear a lot of the various things that happened.
Right. They got to journey with us with Tim, and they were mad at Tim the whole time, too.
Right.
Because Tim was a jackass.
Yeah.
He made a good swift kick in the bottom.
And he deserved it, and I hope he never goes up to that fifth floor. And truly, that is our thorough line of this investigation, you know? We went into it thinking we were going to experience.
It's weird that we can hear a plane that clearly down under the ground.
Yeah. This place defies logic, but whatever, what have you. But regardless, though, we went into it thinking we were going to encounter very particular spirits that seem to be kind of like a tried and true sort of deal. We did not encounter the woman who has the bleeding wrist at all.
No.
I think because Tim overpowered that entire room.
Yes.
She wouldn't have been able to break through anyways, I don't think.
At least two or three instances where I thought I heard distant screaming.
Mm.
And I wasn't sure, because your mind plays tricks on you. And they're all various forms of sounds. We're not far from, like, traffic. So we heard, like, sirens at one point. So
right.
We've heard sounds, and it could have been, like, you know, a vehicle, you know, or tire squealing or something. But it happened enough that I think Sushi had remarked, hey, did you hear that? One of the very first things, actually, during our tour, Sushi and I both heard music, but it was, like, a weird music because it sounded like it could either be someone singing or piano. But it was like kind of this low resonant sound. And Sushi did not know about the organ. Mm-hmm. So when we walked into the room with the organ, Sushi was like, ah! And I was like, oh, right, the organ. So there was a lot of like sounds and sensations. Lots of times the cold was inexplicable because, there are no windows. So there's plenty of reasons for it to be cold, but sometimes the cold just like came up and grabbed you and then moved on. And there was even on the fifth floor during that exchange with Tim, it got very cold and then it just warmed right up. Mm. Like when he left, it was like, oh, it's gone. The chill is gone.
Well, and we noted that every time we had an experience with Tim, where my hands would be freezing cold, Megan would get really cold, and Debria said her back would get really cold, which could very well be Tim.
Yeah,
you know,
Tim was a jerk.
Just a jerk.
Just a jerk.
100%. We're starting the We Hate Tim fan club here. We'll be making t-shirts. You'll see the footage that'll get spliced in with all of this, I'm sure.
Right. We had so many cameras running. We had five cameras running. Oh no, we're being given a heads up that we're winding down.
Yes.
And that's good because I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great time. I definitely recommend coming out to Waverly Hills.
Absolutely, they're so accommodating. They're so wonderful. And so, come out if you have the opportunity. It's worth seeing because it's a massive mm-hmm. building. It's an incredible testimony to the responsiveness of the nation in a time of crisis. When this white plague, tuberculosis, was killing people at such an alarming and terrible rate, this was the result. They built this facility that was offering the most advanced treatment possible. And the unfortunate nature of medical treatment is, at some point, they're wrong until they're right. And so there was at least 30 years of being wrong about how to alleviate these symptoms before the cure came along.
Yeah. And the people who own it nowadays and work here, they care a lot about this building. They are doing amazing work to try to restore it to its once beautiful state. Obviously, that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of money. I think we definitely appreciate, you know, just knowing that every cent they get goes exactly back into the building to make it better. And they all just genuinely really care about the history of this property. Yes. So they're wonderful people. Definitely come out here if you're ever in the Louisville region. But yeah, otherwise, though, you never know what you're going to experience in this place, apparently. And I think Tina kind of warned us a little bit of that before we came here. But y'all, thank you so much for listening to this creepy body shoot episode. And we will be doing more of these in the future when we do investigations. We'll always do a half asleep recap of the evening.
So until next time.
Thank y'all so much. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all! Jesus Christ!
Did you not hear him coming?
I did not.